Greetings. This is James Gillen, your host. We've had some extreme technical difficulties getting off the ground in here, and it might be because I'm broadcasting from the fifth dimension. So if you're hearing my voice, congratulations, you made it. If you're not, I guess you should have stood up against the GMOs and the chemtrails and all the other things that were going on the planet at the end of those wars and the crazy psychopaths that are running things. But anyway, just kidding, everybody. Don't take that one seriously. I know how people do like to take these fifth-dimensional programs seriously, where people have told people in the past they're in the fifth dimension, and we hear that all the time, but they're still here. But anyway, you know, there's a lot of things about the Ascension program and people saying we're all going to ascend and given dates and things like that, but the problem is that we're all still here. And a lot of people maxed out their credit cards, and we're all holding hands, singing Kumbaya, which is great, but they didn't ascend, and they had to come back and take responsibility. So basically, this is our planet. We're going to have to take responsibility for it, and all those feel-good messages and denial messages are really not going to cut it, you know, in the days to come. So anyway, there's a lot of things I wanted to talk about. We're in the middle of a huge shift going on. We're in the second week of a major energy shift going through. So if you felt yourself being kind of lethargic or agitated or going up and down and all over the scale and feeling emotional, it's mainly due to these energies coming in. And it's a good thing. You know, it's bringing everything up to the surface so we can work through it and move on. Those who are actively healing their stuff and raising their frequencies are doing much better, you know, during these times. But the people that are ignoring it and not engaging their spirit are not doing too well. So, you know, say a little prayer for them, set some boundaries, and, you know, become an example that they can learn from. We've had some crazy, I think there's been about four X-class flares hitting the planet at the same time, which is the sun reacting to this galactic plane energies coming in. So that's a byproduct. And we all know when we get hit with these X-class flares, you know, it really knocks people down, you know. And if you feel like sleep, you know, your bioelectric field's being activated and, you know, it's a very intense time. So, you know, the process is on. The shift is hitting the fan full force. And so, you know, my program is just to hold a frequency and sit back and let everybody work their stuff out. You know, it's like in the old days, you know, the Bodhisattva was to carry everything and carry everyone and take on everybody's stuff. And now with the new program, it's really time to just hold a frequency and teach people how to heal themselves, you know, and inspire people to make their own personal connection with, you know, Creator Spirit, God within. Ships are being seen around the world. It's amazing. Even the censorship program that some of the agencies out there, reporting agencies that are actually run by military intelligence people, you know, especially in our area, they're actually reporting ships being seen everywhere and fleets of ships. So it's on. The ships are here, and they're doing a lot of work with the energy grid, and they're working through consciousness and energy and helping us with this shift. And there are some people that are having contact, and a lot of people having contact, and some of that's telepathic, and some of that's, you know, other means. But there's just a lot going on right now. There's so many different energies coming in. The other thing we've got going on is the Antarctic now is melting down. They're getting a lot of meltdown in the Antarctic, and they're trying to say, you know, they're waving their flags, global warming, and we got to do something. We got to get carbon credits. We got to tax the entire planet. You know, the problem is now the scientists are finding out the meltdown is coming from underneath the ice. It's geothermal activity, and it's not man-made. It's actually the Earth overheating due to planetary cycles, and this is a universal event. It's happening everywhere. We don't have SUVs on Mars. Oh, maybe we do. Actually, we do have a secret base there. and we don't have them on, you know, all the other countries also are going through having the same experience. So anyway, excuse the beeping here. We're trying to straighten that out. I'm on my cell phone now because our other methods of communication have been shut down, and who knows, it could have been the X-class flares, it could have been something else. But it looks like things are actually, you know, getting straightened out on one level or another. You know, it's getting very interesting. We got a little activity here on my phone going crazy, but I'm straightening that out as we speak. But I'm trying to think of what else we've got going here. We have a little technical. Let me see. I've got, there's a few things going on here. We had to rearrange everything at the last minute just so I could get on the air here, you know, and go back to the cell phone. Let's see what else we've got here. Antarctic meltdown. So anyway, it's geothermal activity that's causing a lot of the meltdown that's happening. And so it's a matter of the Earth overheating. It's coming from the interior, not the exterior. It's not man-made. So we need to, you know, get a movement to stop all these gnomes and dwarfs and down there, you know, creating their fires, and, you know, they can't do their fire dances anymore, and put a burn ban down on the inner Earth so we can put an end to this global warming and tell them that we're not going to give them carbon credits if they continue to participate, you know, in these wild and nefarious activities. That's about making about as much sense as the carbon credits. But another thing, too, is we're losing a lot of trees up here. We've lost about one-third of our trees in certain areas. And what's interesting is it's the ponderosa pines that are going. It's not the Douglas firs. And so the ponderosa pines are the healthiest trees that we have here. They're drought-resistant. They're very strong. And they seem to be going. And they're dying from the top down, which actually looks like they're not getting water or nutrients, you know, for some reason. And now we're finding out that the aluminum oxide and all the other things they're spraying actually blocks the uptake of nutrients and water to the trees. And so it seems that the pines are more susceptible than the other trees, and they're dying off. And now the beetles are coming in and finishing off the job. So thank you, chemtrails. You know, thank you, shadow government. Thank you, whoever is behind these things. It's time for you guys to wake up and smell the coffee. Stop flying those planes, stop participating, stop building those planes, and we need to make a stand on this very soon. We made a major stand on the GMOs worldwide, and now we need to make a major stand on the chemtrails, because this is genocide. There's nothing else. It's not just genocide for the people, it's genocide for nature and the forest, and so we have to put an end to that. So that's about all I wanted to talk about in the news today. I wish I could bring you some good news. The good news is the shift is on, the energy's coming in, and the Illuminati and all these international banksters and the people that are running the self-service program and are focusing on control and tyranny, that energy is not going to be making it through these shifts. So that's the good news. You guys are just creating more karma for yourself, you know. You've already lost. You might as well just give it up and shift energies, because there's always forgiveness. And you know, if you shift your energies towards the awakened healing and put your resources towards the restoration of Earth, you never know. You just might be here to see the days to come. But on your present position and where you're going now, you won't. You know, it's that simple. You're not frequency specific to where the Earth is going. And this is not stoppable. All your toys, all your energies, all your weapons, all your psychotronics, all of that is not going to work. It's not. This is beyond all that. So it's time to just kind of give it up. That being said, I want to get on with the program. We've got a couple guests tonight. We're going to have Greg Sullivan with Jay Seti. And Greg has always been a strong supporter of eSeti here. And comes to the ranch on a regular basis and brings a lot of folks from Japan. And so Jay Seti is like a Japan version of eSeti. And he's doing a great job over there. So I guess it's time to bring him on and see what's happening with Jay Seti. So, Greg, are you with us?
Hey, James. Thanks for having me again tonight. Yeah, good to see you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's new with Jay Seti? I know you've got a lot of things happening there.
Yeah, we definitely have already a very busy 2014. which opened up with us hooking up in Maui. You know, I was getting the direction to kind of check out a trip to Hawaii for the first time ever with Jay Seti this year, from last year, rather, and that came to fruition just around the time when you were out there. So that was a really big kind of a synchronicity. And, yeah, it was a great tour, and this is our first trip this year for to coming back to E-City. But, yes, we're, you know, in the time we were in Hawaii, I was getting a lot of messages regarding a cross or an X pattern. And then I found out that, you know, that was ended up being connected to the Grand Cross, you know, that came in April. So it's been, on all levels, a huge push this year, you know, energetically and both internally and externally. We started off the year with it being on national radio in Japan on January 2nd. So we're Jay said he's kind of, you know, shift. I wear many hats over there. Being a foreigner living in Japan is sort of, you know, brings different kinds of different levels of attention. And I can see that the guides and the, you know, the ETs that we're working with have kind of use that in many ways to help get the message out. You know, it's time for these truths about ET contact and the ascension, you know, process to come out to the masses. So we've been really working a lot with some of the media and TV stations and having a lot of weight put on our shoulders to represent the information in a positive and accessible manner. So that always keeps me busy. We've been one interesting thing happened. There's a program in Japan that's called Why Did You Come to Japan? It's an interesting idea where you know, the international airport in Tokyo is called Narita Airport, and they have a TV crew that waits outside the arrivals lobby and interviews various foreigners and you know, why they're, what's their purpose for their visit or whatnot. So I had no idea this show even existed. It's been around for a couple of years now, and it's now quite popular. So I went home to the East Coast on Thanksgiving last year, at the end of last year, and came home with a whole bunch of luggage and everything, and walked out of the airport after a direct flight from Boston, and this TV crew is there, and then, you know, I walked by them, and then all of a sudden the camera's on me, and they're asking, you know, me questions and whatnot. So I immediately got the feeling that this was sort of, you know, orchestrated somewhere, you know, on a higher level. So I kind of, although I was exhausted from the flight, I kind of played along and half thinking, you know, is this some sort of setup, you know? And then it turned out that it was a really great experience where they came. We went right from the airport out to a nearby field and saw some ships, about five, you know, kind of satellite type, like the slow-moving ships, within a period of 20 minutes. And then they ended up coming to one of our events in January of this year and did a full profile. And we had some footage captured on the night vision scope. So that was really great to actually, that's been a great entry point for to have a lot of people become aware of the topics that we deal with. That being said, it's been interesting to note that finally, you know, this information is coming out on a grand scale, and the forces that be, the powers that were, are also trying their best to do the, you know, program where they're doing. They've had a lot of programs come out on TV that are kind of moving in the other direction. So it just goes to say, just goes to show how important having your own personal experience, you know, whether it be at E-City or with other, you know, other means of contact, in terms of the actual witnessing process and what a real ship looks like versus a satellite versus some other things, you know. Later on in that same month, in January, there was a hoaxed event that happened in Okinawa. I know people might have seen this video where it was a full-blown U.S. military. They have a lot of islands that they use off the coast of the main island of Okinawa. And this is the second time that there was a very obvious disinformation campaign that was kind of put out in reaction to some of the things we were doing. So it's an interesting chess game that's been going on. And, you know, a lot of things, you know, that these TV stations, they have such a, they've kind of been stuck in a certain way of doing the UFO topic. And in Japan, a lot of times that gets put into the same box as Nessie and the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot, you know, where obviously there are connections, but it does end up, you know, dropping the trustability level for the general public. So we've found that if we are able to suggest to these TV directors and these people, they approach us with can you get on this show, and we'll put you on the panel with these other people, and I usually just refuse. But some people have been open to the fact that we can propose a different type of show and give some new ideas as far as how to breach the topic and breach the subject. One of those being...
Yeah, don't spit it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be careful because, some of these shows, they have an agenda and they want to just create fear and suspense, and they'll spin it or just totally try to, assassinate your character. And we've had that happen here a lot. And we've had to turn down a lot of shows because they just didn't have the integrity level.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is it seems the nice thing about that show, Why Did You Come to Japan, was that I was alone. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize, that, with people in our position, they'll line you up along next to 3, 4, 5 other people who seem like they know what they're talking about but actually have no personal experience or some sort of other agenda that they're, we've noticed some really, I use some of these shows in our lectures over there to show just how advanced the NLP and the kind of tricks they use, the disinformation tricks, are very advanced. Mm-hmm. These people are full-blown trained agents, to put it frankly.
Yeah.
So you have the
major planned opposition thing going on there, as well as the showmen and the people that are, just out for the notoriety or whatever. I'm sure
that
same thing is going on over in Japan.
It is, yep. So they've had a history of people, I know we've talked about that before, James, but they have a history of UFO calling in Japan via the Adamski lineage of information, from the 50s and 60s even. So it's not a topic that's brand new to people, but there are a lot of kind of old approaches to the, none of that information is connected to, the idea of ascension or really even deeper spiritual connection, the deeper spiritual side of contact. So some of those people have been kind of pulled out of retirement by these media agencies, and, they're happy because they get, they get the notoriety and they're back on TV, but, they've used that to really, really kind of try and kind of, move the current against what we're doing, it seems. So I know people in the industry I've met and know about some of the backstories about some of these shows they've done. One in particular at the very end of last year, where they had this so-called fleet that appeared, and it ended up that it was just balloons, the people that were on the camera crew and stuff that were at this dinner I was at, were they didn't even want to sit next to me because it's their work, and they don't want to get yelled at or whatnot. But it's just such an unfortunate, state of affairs. So put the people who don't really know about or don't really care to talk about anything deeper. They use the ego, and then hey, I called these ships in and whatever else. So, and then they cut. They keep it on the superficial level of just whether these things came or not. And then if you watch the rest of the show, the real point of those shows is the panel of speakers and the stuff they're trying to say. They're trying to move and say that the ETs are using volcanic energy. They make up this false cockamamie science, and that the ships are using volcanic energy, and humans haven't discovered that kind of energy yet. And it's unbelievable the kind of messages that they tie those shows to. It seems the actual UFO calling or that stuff is just the bait to get people into a receptive state, and then they hit you with the message subliminally, So we've picked apart these shows time and time again in our lectures over in Japan, and unfortunately, when they put those shows out, 90% of the people just believe it right out at face value,
Yeah, we had Jay Leno bring a crew out here, and it was quite interesting. We didn't know what they're going to do with it, and they're kind of just make a big spoof out of it. Uh-huh. And then the ship showed up, and they filmed them. They got an excellent footage of the ships. And we had a deal that they were supposed to share that with us. If they got really good footage, they were supposed to share it. Well, they didn't, and they couldn't make a spoof out of it because the ships all appeared. And so now they just canned it.
Yeah, it's important that we document these stories for people who are interested, because it puts us in such a position that's a really difficult position, because it sounds like you're criticizing other researchers and and it makes you seem like, it makes you sound like, you know, the false flag, you know, the false flag UFO hoax events are very, you know, gaudy and over the top, and it makes real contact. You know, real contact is much more subtle, and the way the ships really appear. So it's an unfortunate, you know, they throw a blanket over the whole topic, and then any other, if you don't agree with the, what was the supposed, you know, phenomenon or the supposed way the ships move, it's hard for people to understand the difference if they don't have their own experience.
Yeah, whenever I see something really crisp and really clear and well-defined, you know, almost every time it's CGI. Because the fields around the ships that are here, especially the light ships, it makes everything fuzzy. And you very, very seldom will get any kind of detail whatsoever. And if you get a ship that's very detailed, that's physical, most likely it's one of ours. You know, it's something we back-engineered.
Right. So this year also has been interesting. We've actually, for the first time, made it up towards the Fukushima area. So we have our first event in Fukushima proper in August. So we had an event on 4/20, Hitler's birthday, to kind of, that was sort of some sort of like override process that happened in a city called Sendai, which was damaged in the earthquake. And I recommend people, there's that, you know, Vice is that has their videos out there on the online. They just had a new video about that. I think you put it on the mailing list, James, about Fukushima. That's really interesting. So it seems like with so many, there's the butterflies they tested at the in Okinawa down in the Ryukyu University, and they had the butterflies eating food from the Fukushima area, and then the second generation had, you know, a lot of mutations, and then it was the third generation was even worse, and then all the butterflies, you know, perished as well. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know. And then they went to TEPCO and headquarters in Tokyo and were given the same song and dance, you know. So it's been the whole energy issue, you know, and people are demanding, you know, they call nuclear reactors genpatsu. So they have the genpatsu zero program. They want to have them all continually shut down, but Abe, you know, Prime Minister, they're working to kind of start to slowly, you know, turn some of them back on, and so it's just this ongoing tug of war there. But it's going to be, you know, again, the whole, that was their 9/11, you know, so many people woke up, and a lot of the people on active now as activists and researchers I talked to, that was the first, the push to get them moving, you know, and woke, the thing that woke them up was the 3/11 event. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how. I know there's definitely got to be some, you know, this higher dimensional cleanup and the support that's going on, but or else, you know, Tokyo already would not be livable. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of data is coming out scientifically, and then also the people that are being protected, with their star family, whatever else, you know, the kind of, you know, the protection that defies science. So it's, you know, we'll look for, it's going to be, yeah, interesting to see what kind of data comes out on that in the next few years.
There were some monks that were at ground zero at, I think it was Nagasaki. They were like right there when the thing went off, and they made it. They made it out, and they had no sickness, no illness, and they were practicing shielding, you know, special protections and shieldings and things like that, and you know, in their meditations and things, and you know, you can still see the everything else is leveled, but this monastery is still there, and the I don't know what that is, the entrance that has the strange, you know, angled structure, you know, the entrance to the monasteries and things. Like a Shinto, I don't know what the name of it is, but I know they showed it all over the internet too. Everything was leveled, but these openings, you know, to the sacred grounds or whatever, they're still standing.
The Torii gates, maybe.
Yeah. And everybody was going, you know, all I want to know is what are those things made of? And apparently they were definitely blessed with something, because they stayed up and everything else was leveled.
Yeah, but, even in a scenario like that, you know, even in the grimmest of scenarios, those miracle healings and miracle protection they're definitely active. So we know the ETs are involved with that process for sure.
Yeah, And I know one of these monasteries, from what I understand, is this guy actually had a communication device that was like a crystal ball type of thing that he was actually communicating straight up with these higher dimensional beings, and one of them appeared to him and gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's the same monastery, but it was in the same area. And I think that's kind of interesting. I mean, I'd be all for it, a nice beam ship hovering over my place, you know, something hits
right.
the fan. putting their shields down, you know, over the group here.
Yeah, the more we engage that, the more they can, you know, of course, get involved. So it's been an ongoing
exactly.
Educational process, and you know, the people over there in Fukushima are super happy to have this this kind of information come through. I had one person call me right after 3/11, saying, you know, are you going to have some sort of event, or are you going to come up here? And you know, it seemed like we had been kind of kept away from there energetically, but now all of a sudden this year the time, and so we had some people introduced to us that you know, wanted us to do it there, so that's going to happen in August, so it'll be interesting
yeah.
to see that all unfold.
Well, we're doing healing meditations and connecting in with Khan there and his group, and we're doing a lot of from, you know, sending the energy here, because this is a vortex as well, to Japan to help heal the crisis that was going on there. And it was amazing, because Khan was here when all that went down, everything happened, and his family,
right.
his whole town or village was wiped out, and he didn't know if his family were alive or what. And luckily, they all went and visited somebody on high ground that day and
mm-hmm.
and were okay.
Yeah,
but
I know
funny
he's from
Iwate,
which is up in the north, way up in the north there, yeah.
Yeah.
But this trip, yeah, I know, and then you guys connecting across to Japan with Khan and with us, and then I felt that this trip to Hawaii over there with that, you know, some people, I guess the Haleakala, some people think it's one of the heart centers of the earth, or either the belly button of the earth. I know there's a couple different theories, but the fact that we were both there at the same time in February, it was interesting, and it seems like that there was a major opening that you wrote about as well that, you know, that that was interesting. And then it felt like we were, you know, connecting that back to Japan. So there's a lot of this grid work going on, and that's, you know, even way beyond our understanding here on the ground. But how did you feel about that, your time over there in Maui?
Yeah, I was definitely told that I was to go over there and open up some stargates, and that was very important, because it is the heart center of the planet, and what happens there is going to affect the rest of the world. And I also got very involved in the Shaka movement there to create a moratorium on the GMOs and ban the GMOs and all the 150 pesticides and herbicides that they're spraying on these things, and totally destroying the land there and the sea and the ocean and everything. So anyway, they're very successful. I think that they pretty much are going to kick Monsanto out. It looks like heavy pressure is put on Monsanto. So I was really happy about that. And I had a lot of the leaders on my radio shows and talk about, you know, what was going on and how they were going about and stopping, you know, the GMOs and the constant poisoning. You know, they were putting 150 different pesticides in different combinations and experimenting with blow-by, everything blowing over schools, over residential areas, knowing nothing of there's no safety, there's no, you know, we're just going to do it and see what happens.
Yeah, the full.
And that's the consciousness there. You know, we're just going to poison everything and see what kind of mutations pop up. And they were. I mean, all these people were getting cancers and stillbirths and serious problems happening, especially on Molokai, you know. So anyway, they've organized, and I think Monsanto is going to be out the door there, and hopefully the rest of the country in Europe. Yeah, Europe has banned, most of Europe has banned them, and Russia and China is banning them. So, you know, they're really going to go nowhere fast.
Yeah, we're starting to see all these different elements, you know, tied together in the same story. So, you know, before, a lot of these different elements seem to be, you know, totally separate and unrelated to contact or the ascension. But now it seems like the bigger picture is being, you know, kind of be able to be grasped by more and more people.
Yeah, I mean, you strive, you know, you do all your meditations, you know, you do your dark retreats, you do everything, and then you finally hook up with these higher dimensional beings. And they go, well, what do I do? What do I do? And they said, clean up your consciousness and your planet.
Yeah,
you know? And they go, wait, I could have heard that here. And I go, yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, that's our message. You know, it's the message of every master. Clean up your consciousness, be kind to each other, and be kind to your planet. You know, clean up your planet.
Those words have more, you know, more impact than they have, more import than they have ever had in the past, I think, or in this day and age. So sometimes when you hear the message, it's simple, but then you don't even realize how deeply, you know, how deep and real they really mean it, you know, until you see how dark things have gotten.
Well, they want to have contact and they want to help us, but they can't instill want into our program and they can't trespass on free will. So if enough of us rise to the occasion and wake up and start asking for help and assistance and you know, with awareness of these beings, you know, with an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, they can step in and help us on a huge scale. But, you know, it's tricky because they can't trespass on free will. But at the same time, they don't really want to see this planet and this civilization just obliterate itself. So they have, you know, they have to help out the Earth because she's calling out as well, saying, hey, you know, I need some help here. So, you know, we don't have the right to destroy this planet. You know, we don't own this planet. This planet's alive. It has its own consciousness.
Exactly, yeah. Well, things are definitely shifting. I mean, even after that Grand Cross this year and then coming into through May, it seems like, you know, you wake up one day and it's a whole different, you know, whole different ballgame energetically. Some just really tangible ramp-ups and kind of shift direction overall that are just really palatable.
I know there's a lot of ships being filmed and documented around the Fukushima area. Have you seen that or experienced that as well?
Yeah, we have a lot of people, you know, a lot of people reporting those. I know that, you know, most of the, an Army intelligence person, a lieutenant colonel, come meet me in January. So it seems like they're aware that in Japan, there's a lot of this low-level contact on the ground as well as in the air. But so it seems like in that regard, the cleanup effort is sort of like the Dome of the Rock event, you know, where they're working on the ley lines and the grid on the ground. So a lot of these reports and kind of photos and stuff we get are the ships kind of like, you know, in the woods or on in the mountains kind of reacting to people or showing them, revealing themselves.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you really think about it, this is insane. We have to get the government out of the hands of the corporations because that is going to be our demise if we let it, you know, it's profit at any expense, and it's usually at the expense of humanity and the Earth, you know, is the program that they're doing. And we can't continue. I mean, that's unsustainable. This civilization can't continue with that program and the huge military spending, you know, and creating these wars and you know, it's like it's just such a mess. You know, we just can't continue with that program. It's unsustainable. So anyway, I think the important thing is that once the people rise up and just say, look, I'm not going to participate in your wars. I'm not going to participate in your GMOs. I'm not going to participate, you know, in these chemtrails. And a matter of fact, I'm going to rise up and speak out and do whatever's necessary to stop this nonsense. And once we do that, and then create a sacred space for them to come in and help out, they will. I know Hawaii, they just opened up a Palladian UFO center or whatever that's open for contact. And I just heard about that. I haven't been over to see it, but I definitely probably will go over there and do some classes or workshops on the Big Island and Maui as well, you know, come November.
Hopefully there'll be more of that kind of effort moving around the world, definitely.
Yeah,
but at the same time, we've seen a lot of this kind of false ascension information and movements being kind of guided in directions that aren't so clear. So the hurdle once we clear the hurdle of they're here, get over it, you know, it's the information that's connected to the to the benevolence contact that's going to be, need to be ever more clearly presented, and you know, as people are having their first contact experiences and early awakenings, they need the you know, the kind of quality information and the positive information that inspires and doesn't spin into directions that are sort of, you know, another black hole or dead end, which, you know, we've definitely seen that in a lot of the other kind of researcher movements or kind of somewhat connected you know, fields over there in Japan, that whether it be false ascended masters or other kind of energies that are getting involved, you know, unfortunately, they kind of come in on the leadership of those movements, or and then kind of, you know, that trickles down to hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of people as a result. So it's sort of, you kind of bang your head on the wall every time you experience that. But, you know, just by being there and meeting these people, it seems like that there's, you know, some sort of energy transfer occurring. So we've had a lot of kind of, you know, ambassador work going on as well on the ground with Jay Seti. It's happening. As well as, you know, today we did some clearings with the, you know, the one of the guests here had some kind of negative contact experience in during her childhood years. So definitely having a lot more people coming to us with stories of, you know, of that nature. And so trying to get in with them with this clearing and becoming aware of sort of different clearing techniques and, you know, trying to hook in with the more benevolent beings on a regular basis. People always ask, how can I tell the difference? And it's sort of, you know, the energetic discernment is such an important thing, but it takes a little while to get there. So how have you found that, you know, with these people, you know, the Starseed, shutting down the Starseed program, are you running into that a lot as well?
Oh, yeah, it comes up a lot where people are abducted or there's abuse going on, and the beings, some of the reptilian and gray beings, actually work through others and inspire others, even close family members, to abuse them and things, to try to, you know, knock them down and shut down their energies, because a lot of the people came in from really advanced civilizations and they're here to create a change. So they're a threat to the status quo. So the Archon network and the unseen influences that some UFO, you know, researchers and people say don't exist, you know, there's some major UFO I won't mention any names, but one has a name sounds very similar to ours, you know, is going out telling everybody, you know, there's no negative ETs. There's nothing out there that's negative, and it's just military, you know, and that is the most irresponsible thing I've ever heard, and it can get you into serious trouble. But I think it's just as irresponsible to say that there's no negative ETs as it is to say that they're all negative. Because the majority of it is benevolent, but we need to know about the ones that are malevolent, that are self-serving, and learn to set boundaries and techniques for healing them and moving them out of our space.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to always you know, introduce both things at the same time. You know, we want people to look at benevolent contact you know, as a priority, but at the same time, there's been so much low-level contact, you know. And low-level contact-based information out there that you have to address it, and it has to be, you know, there is a category that it fits into. So, you know, addressing those other kind of beings and
small,
the other forces that are out there.
Of the pie. Hey, I know we're coming up. We've only got about 15 minutes, about 20 minutes left
Dana
on the show.
Dana is not here yet.
Uh-huh.
I know.
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, there she is. Okay. Thanks for your help today again, Jana, with the great sessions.
Yeah, much love, Greg.
All right, I'll pass the torch to you.
So, is there anything you want to leave with, be on your way out, like a message for the people, or?
Yeah, well, every day is a new chance to, you know, awaken even further, and it seems like the more you actively get yourself involved with your own process, that the more the push on the swing from behind comes in. So. It seems like the message for this year, especially with that Grand Cross, was, you know, higher and further. You know, it seems like even if we're having even if we're on a good path with the ascension process, there's even further to go. Don't let go of all your, you know, expectations and all your assumptions about, you know, what is what's the highest you can achieve. You know, so oftentimes our highest potential is beyond our wildest dreams. So. It seems like that's been the real big message. You know, this Grand Cross that I had, the one in 2010, was a really tough time for me. It was part of my kind of dark night of the soul, so to speak. And then this time, I had it come around full circle and had some amazing things happen this April. So it's, you know, the universe is fair, and it just, you know, oftentimes those loops are so big that we don't even, it takes years to pass through one cycle, but when it comes around, you know, you realize that, you know, the universe and source is fair, and every energy balances out. So I was just, you know, blown away when with some of these things that happened this spring. So yeah, hopefully to pass inspiration on to everyone. I'm looking
Sounds
forward
good.
To the rest of a great 2014. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Love you,
Greg. Okay,
love you guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Looks like we've got Jan on the line, and Jan is our resident elf nature spirit gardener. She wears many different hats, and she's going to be presenting at the upcoming conference, the June 26th through 30th. So be sure and check that out. It's going to be an amazing event. So Jana, what are you going to talk about at the conference?
Well, you know, I'm trying to distill that down, James, because I feel like when I sit down, I could just talk all day. But what really matters is, like, the topics that you and Greg are touching on. We're talking about planetary and personal issues, as well as what role does Monsanto or Monsanto, what does it play in our lives, and what can we do about it, and how does this relate back to nature, our connection to nature? And, you know, we're talking about cosmic relations with extraterrestrial intelligence, those that are assistant to Earth, and that we have had many beings coming here for just as long as the Star Nations have been with us that are also cosmic, that are the guardians of the intelligence of nature. And since you gave me the gift of being able to come here and learn in the last 5 years, I've learned a lot from these intelligences, and my cup is spilling over. You and other people get up, talk, you know, and I just kind of want to I want to hide out in my hobbit cave and not do that, but I'm being inspired and prompted to share because my cup
I know you've got an amazing catalog of photos of spirit
beings. Yeah,
and
I've had lots of technology issues as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
well, hopefully
it's,
you'll
you
be
know,
able to show
the
those
photos
too.
Are there, but it's the feeling and of what's actually going on more than, for me, the photographic proof. Yeah, I've got photos, this and that, but on a big screen, how blurry is it going to be? But it's really interesting. I was meditating with one of my guides the other night, and this relates to what you were saying. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I got this message. And they said, there's no need to continue to be thinking and doing. You need feeling and believing. And that's what, you know, I was saying, what am I going to talk about, you know? Not thinking and doing, feel this. You know this.
Yeah.
You have nothing left to prove, you know? And I'm in my 33rd year here on Earth, and so it's time for me to just to share and to speak. I have a sort of truth. Everyone does. I'm not trying to impose my views, but I have things to share in this land because of the multidimensional nature of it, the vortex, all of this that that everyone gets to come and experience. It also lends a hand to basically the thinning of the veils and how easy it is to connect here, and also the fact that nature spirits are still here, that activity is happening here, and that there's a voice here in the U.S. I know that there's a voice in the U.K., in England, especially around the power centers there, and we need to bring back the knowledge of the Lost Kingdom. And they're everywhere, and they're very close to us,
Yeah, I think maybe a little nature walk while everybody's here with your cameras at night, go to the little fairy spots might
That's what
might
my plan
be great
for Monday, I hope. But I'll be there for everybody, and I just, it's not what I have to say, what I have to show. I just want to share my joy and my spirit.
Yeah.
And it's very simple, but I'm really excited about the conference of the convergence this year, because every year it's just so diverse, and I'm really honored to be able to add to the generational cup because I'm younger, mm-hmm. and fill in those gaps, because I've had a lot of experiences, and the nature spirits were the last thing to come to me, and boy, did that surprise me. So,
well, people don't realize that there are these, like, fifth and sixth dimensional elven beings, and a lot of people just think they're talking to angels, and it could be, you know, a fifth or sixth dimensional elven being, or a fairy being, or a Pleiadian, or some kind of a, you know, space brother or sister, and you know, we have such little boxes we put things into, and I know what he said, when you come here, your boxes just get torn down.
Or it gets unpacked, and you're like, okay, let's see how we can fit this back in. But yeah, the terrestrial intelligence has always been here, and or around the inner Earth is also very important. And our own story, what's happened to our sweet mother?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to hear her story? Let's connect with her. Let's do the work. You don't need to listen to me. You know, we can walk together and we can listen together.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes people need reminders. And I know a lot of people need reminders of their inner joy and that they have these, you know, interconnections going on, and that it's a big universe out there. And it's time to engage it and somebody to bring it forward.
Absolutely. And there are guardians of every planet that is formed everywhere. And there's races of intergalactic beings that are caretakers of all the different creational aspects. So the ET and the TE, the terrestrial intelligence, are kin to each other. They've been working together since the beginning. So it's a beautiful...
Yeah. Well, I think that when they did that reverse speech, it comes to mind when I asked about... They asked me about the statue of Mary and the energies coming down and what the little blue lights were all around him. And I said, I think there's some kind of nature spirit. And I thought it was hilarious when in reverse speech I said, Mary's elves say to love her.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have a hard time with that. How is Mary connected to elves? You know, that makes no sense. But it actually does make a lot of sense.
It does. But you need to unpack that box first and then... maybe not pack it again, or just spray things out on the lawn so you can really see what everything is and what are these objects that we've put in the box.
we had a practice in the Tibetan Foundation where we would take our stuff and we'd put it in a box and put it up on the shelf, and you could come and get it later.
Yeah.
But you'd just say, okay, and ask Spirit to reveal to you what you needed to know. You know, it's funny, I'm here looking out my window right now and there's a deer running across the field.
That's a good blessing, my friend.
Yeah. Bring in the grace. Oh, two deer. Some babies are out there, too.
Oh, well, nice. I'm going to have to look out the window now, too.
Yeah, the whole deer family has come up to check us out. So.
Well, they're not going to eat your garden tonight now, are they?
No, I've got some devices out there that are going to... take care of that.
Yeah.
So, I should let people know. I bought some old Halloween things and they're motion activators. So when you get close to my garden, it goes off and it just goes, and it makes all this weird noise. So it keeps the deer from eating my garden, and I don't have to do any other beans. It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, and I want to talk all about gardens and the spiritual technology of the seed. And I want to talk about what some of these other humans that we're sharing this planet with and our paradise that has been hijacked, what they're doing and what we can do, because it's funny to me that they think they can carry on in this manner, and that I want to educate, empower people, very grounded, about heirloom seeds and seed activism and how to start it, because it's up to us. And every dollar you spend is a vote, as far as Monsanto. So it's one thing, you know, we must live this truth. So in America, in the way that they still have not renounced the, you know, these crazy, crazy other humans, they're doing this, that... We have to be very careful in how we shop.
Yeah.
And the dollars return, because if you want to starve them with money and go to farmers markets and support people like me that work with the earth and to bring it there. And yeah, you got to go around, and it's a different way of living. But if you care about not allowing Monsanto into your kitchen, you need to vote with your dollars, and it's really important.
You know, somebody offered me, say, hey, do you want this Porsche or do you want this truckload of manure? It'd be a tough decision.
Chicken manure.
Yeah, now I probably could sell the Porsche and buy a lot more manure. I don't know, but to me, it's like, that's what I feel. It's more important to go organic and get close to the land, take your shoes off, walk on the land, and get back in touch with nature and ask her where she's going, you know?
And this is a great place to do it because of the opening here, because of the accessibility of energy. Yeah, you can do it anywhere, but a lot of people can come up here and reconnect on a level that's, I don't mean to make it like fast track, but it's actually easier. You know, you're doing the clearing process, everyone here is trained to do it, as well as the opening on the land, and that it makes it easier to connect here because something is intact here. It's been fostered and nurtured like a seed, and that's the frequency that you're talking about. And it's precious. The seed is precious. So what seeds are we nurturing today inside of our own hearts, our own consciousness, our gardens? May they be here or on other planets. Like, how are we nurturing those seeds today? And I think the symbolism of the seed is very, very potent in this time, and I want to bring that forward. And I have a lot to share, but I'm going to distill this down so that, you know, we can light up the people, because I love everybody, and I'm really looking forward to the gathering here in the next couple weeks.
So we've got, we're kind of at the end of the hour, so if people want to find out more about the gathering here, it's the Spirit and Science 2014 gathering, and we've got quite a lineup. You know, we've got Barbara Lamb, myself, Sonia Barrett, we've got a mystery speaker, Jana, and Clint
Kelly.
Smith, who's got some amazing, John Kelly, he's got some amazing technology that he's going to be bringing out, some incredible healing technology and other energy technology.
And also the oxygen water technology.
Yeah, and we've got Lo, Nathana, and Molly, I can never say his name. But he's going to be doing like group yoga and a lot of other experiences, and we've got Christopher of the Wolves doing the music, and we may never know, we might have some other events coming up. So we've got a mystery speaker. We're still looking to plug into that one, but we've got a couple options we're all looking at, and we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, and all you need to do is email eseti.reservations@gmail.com, and we can send you all the info on how to attend.
And if you go to eseti.org, it's important to realize that the events are not on the website, but the contact information is. So you can go to eseti.org and get that information, but still you're going to have to send an email to eseti.reservations@gmail.com to get the lineup and the time of the events and where. But anyway, Jana, thanks for coming on the show. We're out of time, unfortunately, and I know it's going to be an amazing event, and I'm looking forward to learning more about the seeds of the nature spirits and what we can do to turn this planet around.
Thank you, James. Thank you, everyone.
All right, everybody, we're signing off. It's been an incredible experience, and you know, coming up here, we're just having amazing sightings here at the ranch. The UFO activity is off the chart. They're coming down lower. They're interacting even more. Beautiful kind of pink orange ships coming in. And so get your butt down here. If you really want to see a UFO, let it be experiential. Don't just take somebody else's word for it. And after you've seen them, you want to learn more about them and how to contact them, which is a spiritual experience. So anyway. This is James Gillen signing off. Have a great evening and watch the skies and stay in your heart, because that's where the real power is. Good night.